Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
It would be much simpler in religious circles if false teachers and false prophets would carry a sign which reads, "Beware, I am a false teacher." We could easily avoid such men and women. Unfortunately, they seldom, if ever, do that. They may know they are false teachers, but they want to deceive their listeners and followers. So they are not going to admit they are seducing the unwary. But do false teachers actually know they are false teachers? I will have to admit that not all of them do, but some unquestionably do. That was Peter's reason for saying that some of the false teachers make merchandise of you. 2 Peter 2:3. They use their power to make money like Balaam. 2 Peter 2:15. Or to engage in sexual immorality. 2 Peter 2:14. I know this is not very pleasant to contemplate, but there is absolutely no doubt about it. The Apostle Peter warned as follows about false teachers. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. 2 Peter 2:1. The false teachers, Peter affirmed, privily shall bring in damnable heresies. The word privily appears only here in the New Testament, and literally means to bring in by the side, as if secretly. It refers to the teacher who pretends he is faithful to the Word, but is just waiting for the opportune time to introduce another gospel, as was done among the Galatian churches. Paul uses slightly different Greek words in his letter to the churches of Galatia, but the thought is basically the same as I have read from 2 Peter 2, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily, that is, slipping in unwanted, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Galatians 2:4. We know who the false teachers were in Galatia. They were men who wanted to retain parts of the Mosaic covenant, such as circumcision and Sabbath keeping, and add them to the gospel of Christ. When they did that, they perverted the gospel and made it into another gospel. That is a gospel which could not save. Galatians 1, 6-9. Those teachers were not honest enough to tell their hearers, "We have come among you to turn you away from the gospel." Instead, they slipped in unawares and unwanted. The damage they did among the Galatian churches was incalculable. That is one of the reasons why every church must have wise and faithful elders. There are dozens, perhaps hundreds, of underhanded methods false teachers use to worm their way into the people's hearts. Almost invariably, they paint a sweet smile on their faces, speak words as sweet as honey, until someone crosses their paths. Then they can become as vicious as a wild dog. If you think I'm exaggerating, let me give you an example. Some of the cultic groups practice what they call love bombing. The members conspire to show every kindness to people they want to win or to their new members. They take them out dining. They're always available when the new members have needs or even wants. But when the prospective member or new member begins to have doubts, the cultic leaders and their minions will seek to manipulate them by engaging in what they call shunning. Shunning is intended to embarrass and to shame those who do not fall in line. My friends, we thank you for listening. May God continue to bless you.